Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi there, it's Ricky Wilson here, sitting in for Chris with the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast from Virgin Radio with Sky. Coming up, delightful designer Tan France shares all about his new BBC Two documentary, Beauty and the Bleach. Singing sensation Beverly Knight gives us the rundown on the cast album for West End musical, The Drifter's Girl. Busted's Charlie Simpson talks about his latest solo album, Hope is a Drug. Superstar chef Chris Baber makes our mouths water with his debut cookbook, Easy. And marathon man Hugh Brasher tells us how you can get involved in his fundraiser, Run for Ukraine. So, Sophia, let's kick things off. Tell us who's up first.
Button your shirts, comb your hair, and do the French tuck. Everyone's favourite fashion icon and one-fifth of the Fab Five is in town. Here to discuss his upcoming BBC Two documentary, Beauty and the Bleach, our next guest is unveiling important and personal experiences of colourism. Please welcome the always delightful and always stylish, it's Tan France!
Yeah!
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Tan.
What a lovely intro.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, very peppy for this time of the morning.
I try my best.
Wow.
Oh, I'm flagging. But you're here now. So yeah. You'll perk me up. Can I just start, first and foremost, by saying thank you for making this programme.
Of course. Thank you so much.
I watched it last night. It was terrific. It just shows you've got so much to learn as a human being, isn't it? And it was so great seeing you feel your way through it as well. And it felt like I was learning with you, which was great.
Thanks.
So explain to us what the show's all about.
So Beauty and the Bleach is a documentary about colourism. Many people, especially white folk, have never heard that term before or don't understand it. So let me explain real quick. It's when people within a community are judged based on the tone of their skin. So it's not racism. It's colourism, which is if you are lighter skinned, you are most likely going to be treated well. If you are darker skinned, you are perceived as you're not likely going to achieve the success you might want to if you were lighter skinned.
Right. And that makes sense. You talk to some kids as well, and you're so good with kids.
Thanks. That was one of the most... I've done a lot of intimidating things the last few years. That was probably the most intimidating space I've been in a long time.
It's weird, isn't it? Walking through a classroom
teenagers?
Full of kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
They scare me.
Yeah, I've done a couple of kids' programmes and it is terrifying, isn't
it?
But they're so insightful.
Yeah, they
are.
It's
really interesting that you can learn loads from young people who are going through it at the time. Stuff that you went through, you know, that's... 15 years ago, let's say.
Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago. I'm so young. You know, here's the thing. I thought that times had changed. I haven't lived in the UK for just under 15 years, and I thought that things had gotten better. I'm sad to see that they haven't. And it's I'm making it sound like this documentary is really like a Debbie Downer. It's just insightful.
Oh, no.
It really is.
It really is. I learned a lot. And what was great about it was seeing someone like yourself who, you know, for outwardly appearances, we think that you've got it sorted. You're so sorted.
Yeah.
And then see that there's hidden things that you're kind of revealing to us that show that we're all built of extraordinary kind of nuances and things about ourselves. We don't really want to reveal, but when we do, it's kind of a relief, isn't it?
Yeah, I honestly think that that's why myself and my castmates on Queer Eye do such a good job. I think we've all gone through incredibly difficult times. And so we're able to empathise with the people that we help. And so I think that's my superpower on the show, is that I feel so deeply for these people that we help.
Yeah, it's an important show.
Thanks.
It's an important show. You even go and see a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
And that gets deep.
Yeah, let me tell you, they had to force me to go and see a therapist. I'm not that American yet.
Really? You haven't gone full therapy?
I've never been to therapy.
I tried it. I'll try anything. In the pursuit of happiness.
She was wonderful. And I know therapy works for many people. I tell everyone my feelings anyway. Why would I pay someone to tell them my feelings?
Life is your therapy.
Yeah.
Get it out.
But it was really interesting. It was a moment that made me rethink the way I treat myself. I've been punishing myself about bleaching my skin for years and years and years. And so for the first time, I started to think, maybe it wasn't my fault.
I recommend everyone should watch this show because it's really important as human beings, you know, colour, creed, whatever, to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And it's a really important show because, you know, it's something, you know,
it's something that you haven't really talked about openly or confronted before. And and it was just great to go on that journey with you. Oh, I used the word journey.
That's, I know.
That's my background in TV talent shows coming out there.
Yeah. I try and avoid using that word as much as possible. However, it was.
It really was.
I hate to use this term also, but it really was a journey I went on. I came back to the UK for a couple of weeks to film it, and I didn't know what to expect. I'm really, really glad I did it.
And we can see Beauty and the Bleach next Wednesday, 27th of April at 9 p.m. on BBC Two on BBC iPlayer, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
Now, what's this about you and me in a hot tub?
Okay.
Right, because he came in and said he's met me before, and I...
You look really concerned.
Not concerned, I was excited.
You looked a little concerned.
What happened?
You wouldn't have recognised me. I was very young at the time. I think I was like 18, 19. It was 20 years ago.
Yeah, so if you were 19, I would have been about 16, right?
Yeah. We were so close in age. And I used to work at a very prominent telecommunications company. And as part of my...
You're so trained.
Thanks,
I love it.
Thanks. And I worked... And when I worked there, I won a competition to go to one of these big festivals. I think it was V Festival.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's even a thing anymore. Anyway, so I went and they said, oh, there's a hot tub here. We're going to get everyone to go in. And there was only me and two other people who had won this competition. And then you and your band came and joined us in the hot tub. I don't think you were meant to be there. And I don't think you had swimming trunks on.
Oh, right. So I wasn't... Was I in full control of my faculties? And by that, I mean mentally, not my...
No, you were not.
Lack of swimming trunks.
No, you all joined us in your underwear, and I thought, I wonder if they've got a second pair of underwear to then go on stage later. I don't think you did.
Always thinking.
Yeah, I was so concerned about your sartorial choices.
So stylish.
Yeah, and you only stayed in there a while, and I don't think you realised where you were.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You know, it's funny, because I was saying that I often get asked what's the most rock and roll stories I have, and I always go, I've never done anything, but obviously I do them when I can't remember.
I really hope that in the future you'll say that you shared a hot tub with Tom France.
Well, I can't wait to tell my wife. She's always encouraging me to experiment.
And turns out you did.
It turns out I did. Thank you very much. I hope you can come back soon.
It's great
to see you back in the UK.
You.
And let's have a UK edition of Queer Eye.
Yes, please.
And let's have a celebrity edition of Queer Eye.
You should host it with us.
I'm technically straight.
Yeah, we could pretend... Everyone's a little bit queer, I guess.
Of course.
It's not called gay eye.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. Really called me up on that one. I'm glad you did. So, yeah, well, I am definitely up for that.
All right, great.
All right, see you soon. Thank you very much indeed.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
From Emily in Pankhurst to a fairy godmother, our next guest can do it all. Here to tell us about the new cast recording album from the musical The Drifters Girl, this West End wonder will keep this fire burning. Don't make this a shoulda, coulda, woulda. Listen up and give it up for the sensational Beverly Knight.
Beverly Knight. How you doing?
I am good. That's an intro and a half.
I know.
Oh, my God.
We do things properly around here.
You clearly do.
So, we'll get to the Drifters Girl in a bit. But
yes.
How are you?
I am a little tired. Just a little tired.
The busiest person in show business.
Oh, my God. We do we do lots of shows in the middle of the week. And that's why my eyes look a tad blurry. But I'm good.
So this is in the theatres.
Yeah, this is theatre world now.
The theatre world. And you love doing theatre.
I do. I've done theatre since I was, God, 5.
What was that when you were 5?
Oh, my God. The first show I ever did was a Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even tell you the name of the show now, but I played a character called Peter the Reject Eater, who worked for Santa Claus and had to sing a little solo, who destroys all the toys that are no good.
Go on, then. Give us a blast of it.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't do that to you. Oh, indeed. We were talking, me and Sophia, earlier in the week about musical theatre.
Yeah.
Theatre. You have to say it like that, don't you? Theatre. And I was saying that I'd quite like to do it, right?
Because, you'd be great.
Well, I don't know if it'd be great.
You would.
But what I think I'd like about it, I love this job because of the routine, the coming into work. But I love my other job because I don't know if you know, Bev, but I'm in a band.
Oh, really?
I love, yeah.
God.
I love that job for the adrenaline burst of performance.
Totally.
Which is fantastic. It's life-affirming.
Yeah, it is.
When you've got a job like ours, you have no need to go bungee jumping or anything like that, do you?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
On holiday, people say, do you want to go jet skiing? I'm saying, no.
No.
I'm a performer.
Yeah, get on stage.
I get that buzz.
Exactly.
But so if you could combine the both, going to a theatre every day and performing, it must be marvellous. Is that the best thing about it?
Do you know something? You've really nailed it there, because you do that routine of coming in, knowing what you're doing, and just it's the same every day, pretty much, you know. Yeah.
Until you get on stage.
Until you get on stage, and then the nuances and everything kick in. And but it's a great buzz. You know, the lights come up, everybody's into it, and they're following your every single step. Obviously, you're not you, so you're playing a character, but you do get that same kind of, that drive, you know, that rush of feeling. But then you're in a routine. It's really good. And you're working with other people. You know about that because you're obviously...
The camaraderie. Yeah, but I've been doing that with them for, like, 20, 25 years. It'd be nice every 6 months to get a new lot in. No, I went to see Moulin Rouge on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching it. I was enjoying it. Mm. But I was jealous of the people on stage, not because of what they were doing, but I just thought, what a great life. And they looked like, even you could tell on stage they were having fun off stage as well. And that really comes across, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I go and see shows as well. Yeah. And the last show I went to see, Get Up, Stand Up. And just
Is it good?
It is good.
Yeah, good.
It is good. Nice to see authentic Jamaican accents on stage. That was lovely. and everybody's just loving their absolute lives on stage, and it does permeate into the performance. It's just fun. It really is. I mean, don't get me wrong, you're knackered at the end of the day, but I'm not lying.
It's worth it though, isn't it?
It is.
It is worth it. Because isn't it amazing how you can wake yourself up like 2 seconds before you walk out?
Yeah.
And then the moment you're there, it all
comes
back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get into this thing. Tell me all about it. The Drifters Girl.
So, the Drifters Girl. It was the idea of a woman called Tina Treadwell. Her mum and dad, actually, Faye Treadwell, who I play, took over the management of the Drifters, who were managed by her father, George Treadwell, before he suddenly died in 1967. And she did something which women, frankly, didn't do back then, and definitely not women of colour. She managed the group. She took over the reins on her own and turned them from being this respected, well-loved kind of old-school doo-wop band into global superstars. And it was a fight all the way and every step of the way. So we portray her life, obviously, you know, with the music of the Drifters as well. And it's just great fun. There's a lot of laughs in it, a lot of serious moments as well. But, you know, it's such good fun, really is.
There are so many great stories out there, you know, left untold, aren't they? So how did you come across this one?
I'll be honest, the producer of the show, Michael Harrison, said he wanted to develop this show with me in mind, which I was like, oh, my God, thank you. Because he felt that everybody kind of knows the story, knows the music of the Drifters,
of
not the
do.
Story yeah. of the Drifters. But no one knew the story of Faye Treadwell. So he just thought that would be a really interesting way to have the music, you know, celebrated, but also have this absolute trailblazer celebrated at the same time.
Thank you so much for coming in and telling us about The Drifters Girl.
You are welcome.
I can't wait to see it. Royal Box, please.
Yes. I'll sort you out.
My favourite place to sit in the theatre is top circle, front row.
Oh, yeah.
I love it there. Yeah. And then it's not that expensive.
No.
Yeah. So that's my top tip.
Oh,
where can we see it and when?
Right now at the Garrick Theatre.
Yeah.
And I'm there till the 2nd of July, but the show will just roll on and on and on. So.
And I can't recommend the album enough. Drifters Girl cast album out Friday the 6th of May. Upcoming single Harlem Child, 20th of May. And Drifters Girl out now at London's Garrick Theatre. Tickets available at NYMAXTheatres.com. Beverly Knight, National treasure.
Aww.
Thank you, Beverly.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
You're listening to the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio. I'm Ricky Wilson, Sophia Franklin's there, and we've been joined by Charlie Simpson, one of the only three men in the world who can say he was in Busted.
Hi!
How are you doing?
How are you doing, Ricky? Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate.
It's been a while since you've been in Busted.
It is, yeah. It's been we did actually some shows in 2019 because we we did like two got back together in 2016 and then did a couple of albums. But yeah, it's been about 4 years now since we played a show.
I saw you when you came back. I saw you at the Albert Hall.
Did you?
It was good. That.
Oh yes, yeah. That was actually it's one of my favourite venues to play. That
it's fantastic, isn't it? I forgot to do your big intro.
You did this yesterday, Charlie. It's nothing personal.
Well, it's new to me.
I'm offended.
Well, we've got a big intro written. And Sophia's more offended than you are. Sophia, would you like to do your big intro?
From teenage pop sensation to his own solo creations, this singer-songwriter is prepared with tunes up until the year 3000. His new album, Hope is a Drug, is out now, and he's brought his dulcet tones here today. As you've already heard, it's the lovely Charlie Simpson.
Hurrah! So, Charlie.
Though I must say, the album was put back. It's out on Friday now.
On Friday now. It's your fourth solo album.
It is, yeah.
How many Busted albums were there?
Four.
So, equals.
Well, and then there's four Fightster albums as well.
All right, wow. So you've made that many albums?
Yeah.
That's a lot of albums. That's a lot of content.
It is a lot of content. Well, I started when I was 16, so I had quite a fair go at it. But it's, I've been very lucky to be able to, you know, have the opportunity to make lots of different things.
Well, you'd think by this time you'd sound jaded and bored of it. But I listened to this album three times.
Did you?
The last 24 albums.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hours. And I really love it. And you sound younger and more excited than ever.
Oh, thanks, Ricky. That's really lovely to say. I guess there was a sort of renewed enthusiasm for this record because I sort of produced a lot of it myself during lockdown. And I think that sort of added back that sense of I'm doing this for the first time thing, you know, when you first get into a recording studio, even though I've been in lots of recording studios.
I did notice the lack of guitars.
Yeah. I did notice the lack of quality in the production.
No. The production is amazing because it's hard to get good production with guitars.
Yeah.
But I know the piano's there.
Yeah. So I did deliberately sort of take stuff out this time because I often use instrumentation as sort of a bed and almost a crux. And I thought, you know what? Let's just strip it all back and be more vulnerable, which I think I was.
Well, there is nothing to hide behind. Your guitar's not there. You're on the front cover. Yeah. It's just your
name.
Not
many drums.
It's just your name.
Yeah.
So it's really honest.
Scary. It is. It's definitely the most vulnerable record I've released and one of the most personal. So I can't wait for people to hear it, man.
So, because I was listening, and especially the first half of the record, I was really relating to as a guy that's been in a band with someone that left the band.
Yeah. Right?
Not, I'm not saying you're the guy that I'm saying, because I was thinking about him.
Right.
When I was listening to these songs, because although it's like love songs, I was thinking, oh, you're kind of going, oh, I might have made mistakes, but we're all right now. Was there an element of that, or is it literally, you know, relationship? You know?
Yeah, no, it's definitely more, I think, relationship driven. But then, you know, to be honest, I look back at my life and I don't have any regrets, I don't think, which is
as you say in Sliding Doors.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
I've listened.
Yes, you have listened. You have listened, Ricky. I think that you know, me leaving Busted was a good thing only because I don't think we would have got back together again had I stayed because I just wasn't in the right mind frame to stay. And you know, I think that when I look back at my career, I've pretty much stand by all decisions I've made thus far. Could make some dodgy ones yet to come, but we'll see.
Every decision leads you to where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Which is that's the last track on the album, Sophia.
You've done your research. I'm impressed.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Oh, no, you just listened to the first and last one. I'm talking around to you. Saying that, though, my three favourites. I did say this. Right, because I listened to the album three times, and now the triple hitter of 4, 5 and 6... with the single,
yes,
and then Twice, which I thought...
Yeah, Twice. That's one of my favourites on the record.
I thought Twice should be the single.
Really?
And then I was like, this should be the single. And then I got to the next one, I See You.
Yes.
And well, so
that was the first song I released, and that was the sort of biggest change in sound. But yeah, I'm glad you like Twice. I think I'm going to open with that on the tour
in May. You should. Yeah, it's triumphant. And I really like the sound of the record. If we can get into that.
Yeah, great.
So you say you did it mostly yourself. Is that what you've always done?
This is the first time. Because basically I was due to go in to record the record in 2019, sort of late 2019. Obviously the COVID pandemic happened. And I just basically decided to build my own recording studio and sort of really learn the production side of stuff. And I did have collaborators that I worked with, but it was very much mainly done by me.
And do you think you just picked this stuff up by osmosis, or did you really sit down with books?
Honestly, I did mixing engineering courses, sound really? Engineering courses. I was just like beavered away in my wife barely saw me. Honestly, I've taken on all this new skills and knowledge over the last 3 years.
He was one of those people, Sophia, that had a productive lockdown.
Oh, Charlie, put us all to shame.
I just made videos and never put them on TikTok. We got embarrassed at the last minute. But no, I do love the sound of it. And there's some things that probably were born out of necessity which make it sound so unique. Like, obviously, it's just your voice.
Yeah.
And I noticed that there's a sound across the whole album where you've kind of got backing vocals that are a little bit kind of like affected, like vocoded.
Yeah,
like
vocoded. Yeah.
Was that just to create a different kind of, like, because you're on your own, you needed someone else?
Yeah, I've always been a sucker for the vocoder. Ever since I heard Imogen Heap, what's that song called? Hide and Seek. I've always loved the vocoder. And I don't know, because my first two solo albums were more sort of the Laurel Canyon, big harmony, me stacking myself up. And I sort of wanted to do something a bit different for this time. So I thought and it's a bit more electronic. So I thought the vocoder would be a nice, compliment to it.
I love the album. I can't tell everyone to go out, listen to it.
It's out Friday.
This Friday, 22nd of April. Single Good to Love is out now. And you tour? You got a tour.
I have got a tour. It's starting on the 10th of May at London Lafayette. And it goes all around the country, doing about 14 shows.
It does, yeah. Newcastle, Glasgow, Norwich, Leeds, Birmingham, Portsmouth, Brighton, Oxford, Bristol, Swansea, Stoke, Manchester, Dublin. Where can we get tickets?
You get tickets on all your normal
just
ticket outlets.
Google Charlie Simpson.
Live Nation, whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And Google him and get the album out this Friday.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Charlie.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Vroom, vroom, shake, shake the room. The F1 is back for round 4 and we are all here for the thrill. Here to rev us up for this weekend's Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, which is live and exclusive on Sky Sports F1, is our very own Italian stallion. Yes, it's Crofty!
Yeah, stallion!
Stallion!
She was so worried about getting Emilia Romagna wrong. She
said Italian Starion.
Yeah. And he's gone medallion.
I have the same problem. What? I have the same problem. That's why I say Imola rather than Emilia Romagna. It just sounds like a pasta dish, doesn't it?
What would you
like, sir? I'll have an Emilia Romagna.
And I read it as a Grand Prix, and I read it to all sorts of unnecessaries. So what are the headlines? What's going on to this weekend?
Right, now, Ricky, I know you're a big fan of the F1.
I do like it. I've been to loads.
Have you? Which ones you come to?
Oh, I've been to Silverstone.
Yeah.
I've played at loads of them.
Excellent.
I haven't been abroad yet, but my friend Adrian keeps promising to take me.
Right, well, he needs to take you to a race then, because it's getting very exciting in 2022. Ferrari, remember them?
Yeah.
Really successful team, been around forever. Well, they're back, ladies and gentlemen. After a few years in the doldrums, Ferrari are very much on top at the moment. Charles Leclerc leads the championship by 34 points, which is more than any driver led the championship for the whole of last year. They've had a great start to the season.
David Crofty Croft was on the line from Italy, and he had bad Wi-Fi in his hotel because he wouldn't spring for the premium access because you can't claim it back on expenses. Isn't that right, Crofty?
Yeah, you got me in one there. Well done.
Well, you have to put in your credit card details, and that's dodgy.
Yeah, never doing that in a hotel again. not since the last time. The Wi-Fi here about as reliable as an Aston Martin on the track at the moment. But, I know, which is harsh, but for a team with all their resources, they're struggling a touch. They've only had one car through to Q2 so far this year, which has not been good. But I think they've got a saviour this weekend, and that's the weather. It is raining in Imola at the moment.
Raining?
It's going to rain tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, so you get
and
to,
it's going to rain tomorrow.
You get to travel to all these fantastic places, and then it's raining in Italy, and you probably just sit in a little box, a windowless box with TVs. Is that right?
No, well, TVs, this is a box, but we do have a window now, which is great.
Wow, they upgraded you.
2 years. Yeah, for 2 years, we didn't have a window, but that was during the COVID protocols. We're back in the commentary box now. It's fantastic. And rain is good. Rain is good when your car is not performing the way you want it to because it's a bit of a leveller. You can't go quite as fast. because it's really wet on the track. And the porpoising issues, the bouncing issues that have been affecting Aston, McLaren, also Mercedes as well, and Ferrari to a certain extent, won't be quite as significant here because the speeds won't be quite as fast. So it's a great leveller. In Lance Stroll, Aston Martin, another guy, he's brilliant in the wet. He got his only pole position in the wet and his first front row in the rain of Monza once upon a time as well. So for Ferrari, to go back to the championship leaders, wet is probably not what they want because they've got a significant car advantage with all the new rules and regulations. They've done a much better job over the winter. I think it's going to be a lot closer in the wet this weekend. And we've also got not one, but two races this weekend. The sprint is back. 21 laps on Saturday with points from first down to eighth. Last year was points from first down to third, which means we get two bites at the cherry. And anything can happen in a race. As you well know, lots of crashes, lots of action, and it's a bit of a blast around the track. So whoever gets pole by winning qualifying on Friday isn't necessarily going to start the Grand Prix out in front. So I'm hoping that we're going to get a bit of a mixed-up grid this weekend.
Wow, yeah, well, can I ask you a question about the rain?
Anything.
Well, my is anything. My father-in-law gave me recently some spray to put on my windscreen that apparently you don't have to use your wipers as much and the water just rolls off.
And
it works, right? Have you heard of this stuff? It works.
No.
But, have you not heard it? Oh, you spray it on your windscreen and you don't have to use your wipers. It just rolls off. And I was wondering if you could use it on your shower door, but because that would be more useful for me.
Yeah, but maybe you could put it on the visor of a crash helmet of the Formula One driver.
Is it true that they have little bits of plastic that they rip off those?
Yeah, they're tear-offs. So if you know what happens with your car windscreen, you get bugs hitting it all the time when you're driving. Well, the same happens to an F1 driver. So they have tear-offs and they rip off the visors. They'll be doing a lot of that when the rain is coming down. But I don't know why no one...
That must be fiddly with those gloves on.
Well, it probably is, but they've become accustomed to it. What I want to know, Ricky, is why in this sport that spends hundreds of millions of pounds a year on technology and technology for the future, why no one has come up with windscreen wipers for a crash helmet? You know, why can't we have that?
Don't tell anyone, Crofty, don't tell anyone. So, when is it? It's Sunday from 2 p.m. on Sky Sports F1, isn't it?
So Sunday is race day, lights out at 2 p.m, but we've got the sprint on Saturday afternoon. Don't miss out on the sprint because it really is an awful lot of fun. And we've got qualifying on Friday. So build-up starts 12:30 on Sunday, lights out at 2. The sprint race, I think that's 3:30 from memory on that one, but I could be wrong. But we're on air on Friday from 12:30 with practice one.
Can't wait.
If it's a rubbish weekend back in the UK, just stick to the Grand Prix. We'll cheer you up. We'll lighten your mood.
You've sold it to me. I'm not going to be watching Columbo this Sunday. I'm watching the Grand Prix. Thank you very much, David.
Good man.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Our next guest can teach you how to make fantastically flavoursome, fuss-free food from the things in your fridge. His debut cookbook, Easy, is out now. And here to tell us all about it is the creme de la creme himself. It's superstar chef Chris Baber.
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, quite the intro. I'll pay you for that later. Yeah.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Thanks for having me in.
It's a pleasure. I like the fact you've got a new book out, and that's what we're here to talk about. It's called Easy. On a scale of 1 to 10, how easy is it?
It depends which end's easy, number 10 or number 1.
Okay, because me and my wife, we have this thing where we go, we can't really be bothered, so we try and make something easy, and usually that's freezer stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all orange.
No, it's so easy, and people say, why is everything easy in there? And I think I've tried to remove barriers to food. Number one, it's all written in easy to understand everyday language. If you're not a chef and you open a book that said, saute some carrots of julienne, and you don't speak French, then it's a bit of a barrier. So it's just written in easy to understand everyday language. All the ingredients available in a supermarket. It's not like a medieval scroll for your shopping list of a million different shops. And also, easy everyday kitchen equipment, chopping board, knife, oven,
perfect.
The basics.
That's what I like, because sometimes you get a cookbook given to you and it'll be, you know, fancy, and then you open it up and the list of things, you've never even heard of some of the things on. Me and Grace didn't know what a pomelo was.
You're asking Alexa before you've even met the shops what it is you're buying.
What is it about? And sometimes you think to yourself, I'm buying jars of things that I will use half a teaspoon of and will just live in a cupboard.
And it's a waste of money, isn't it?
It's a waste of money. So thank you for making this cookbook. And you started doing it during lockdown. And that was a point where, even though we had all the time in the world, we were trying to make things as easy as possible.
Well, yeah, I think we're all put into this position where even if you weren't much of a cook, you had to start to do it. You couldn't eat out. The option wasn't there. and I took it upon myself to use my platform to really help inspire people and just remove any barriers and stigmas around food and just make it accessible. No matter who you are, you should have access to a lovely bit of dinner every night, and that is what the book's all about.
Well, God forbid there's another lockdown, yeah, but this is practically the perfect book for it, because during lockdown, dinner became the focus of the day.
Yeah.
But we couldn't go to, like, a little independent, Chinese supermarket to get the right spices or anything like that. You had to just go to your big Tesco or whatever and shop there.
Yeah.
You looked at me weird then, like I'd said Tesco. Am I allowed to say Tesco?
No.
I prefer M&S myself.
Well, I mean, we all do.
Yeah. But you know what it is?
You work for M&S.
Well, yeah, there might be a link there. But
can you get me involved in that lot?
We'll have a chat.
I've seen Emma Willis on the adverts. I think I'll have a slice of that. M&S chocolate brownie.
The thing is, hopefully we never go back into lockdown, but we are back into real life. We're busy. Yep. We're at work. Mm-hmm. This is for real people with real lives, and it is easy. You get in from work, or you've got the kids coming in from school, and you actually just want to make something that's easy but delivers on flavour. This is the one.
It's really great, and I like the fact that the chapters, explain themselves.
So, yeah,
you can flick to the chapter. Chapter one, brunch. Sorted.
Simple.
I love brunch.
Yeah, the eggy bread with lemon ricotta and blueberries is what I'm going to make this Sunday.
Mm.
I can't wait, because that's the kind of thing you would go to a cafe for, right? And you pay a fortune.
That's it.
Yeah.
But you can make this, and there's only 6 ingredients.
Mm.
And then toppings on top.
Chapter two, family faves. That's a good chapter.
You can't go wrong with the classics, can you?
No. I was just flicking through this, and you've done like a sausage tray bake with tomatoes.
Mm.
That's our go-to. Easy, isn't it?
Put the things in a tin, stick it in the oven, and what you get is like this. It's called a ribbiata sausage tray bake. So we all know that a ribbiata pasta, spicy tomato sauce. But you get the sausages, and the fat from the sausages comes out. It cooks the tomatoes. They go sticky and sweet, bit of spice. Lovely in a sandwich with some mashed potato, through some pasta, whatever you want.
I've been doing that with a mashed carrot and swede combo at the moment. I'm trying to get me 5 a day in, and it's hard. It's 10 a day now.
I
haven't got the time in the world for that.
It's about 30, I think.
30 a day now. Yeah, Grace was, every morning she's counting out blueberries. So it doesn't have to be exact, I don't overdo it.
Yeah.
I don't want to turn blue like Violet in... chapter three, Fake Away.
That's probably my favourite chapter. It's everything we love, like Chinese crispy chili beef, chicken tikka masala.
Oh, just stop it.
Let's face it, that's what we actually want to eat for dinner, and you can do it at home for less money, and it's actually dead easy using basic stuff. So just to show people how to do that, it's a great thing.
It is. Chapter four, one pan. Oh, we all love a one pan.
Less washing up.
Yeah. Brilliant. Moving on. Chapter five, feeding a crowd. I had a crowd over at the weekend. Hard work, isn't it?
It is. Well, not with this book. It's not.
No, there you go. He sells it, doesn't he?
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. What would you say it was? Easy. It's in the title.
Boom.
There you go.
Thought about this.
Chapter six, sweet.
And that's what we've got in front of us.
Good to have a bit of that.
Yeah, dive in.
Oh, do you want me to serve it to you, Ricky?
So this is
he's gone in with his fingers.
That's all right. It's not my favourite.
Do you want a bit of yoghurt on it?
No, I'm all right.
Okay.
This is like a most rich, decadent chocolate and raspberry fudge bounty cake.
Oh, of course.
I've got it there, cut up into bits, but if you've got people coming around for dinner, feeding the crowd, cut it into slices, bit of creme fraiche on top, couple of raspberries... I'm all right for now, thanks.
What?
I'll go on then. Let me get in. I want to save more for you.
No, you can pretend. We don't. You just do this
Go on then. Let's get
Chris,
in there.
Chris, this is fantastic. And it's a brilliant book.
Mm.
It's out now, right?
It's out right now.
Out now.
You a little bit. There you go. There's a,
thank
there's
you.
A bit that you know what it tastes like.
Oh, but... I do. I've made it a few times.
You can get it in all good bookshops.
Mm.
Some of the rubbish ones too. Can you get it in M&S?
Oh, this week you can, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I do like an M&S.
Well, that's a good brownie, that, isn't it?
So, Chris, have you got anything else on the go at the moment you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm announcing a big partnership later on today, actually, with a big American cookware brand that are launching in the UK called Hexclad, so stay tuned for that.
Nice.
I've got a project coming up in Singapore with the Singapore Tourism Board.
Oh, are you going?
Yeah, I'm going in a couple of weeks, which will be fantastic. So we're just going to sort of... document what is Singaporean food. I don't think there's much knowledge of it in this country. And
everything's pretty go for Chris Barber. Well, at Chris Barber on Instagram if you want to follow him. And so you just say you're like really coming through. I'm full of brownie now, aren't I?
Yeah.
You've got a really sticky mouth.
Mm. Hang on.
It's been said.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to join in now. Make sure that he's with you on it.
But you're really coming through as one of the next generations of great chefs, and it's great to have you here so early on in your career. I'm just really pleased you've been in, and I love your book, and I'll be making everything on it over the next 6 months.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Millions of pounds raised, thousands of miles run. There are no roadblocks that will get in this man's way. When he's not busy organising some of the biggest global running events, he's helping millions with his fundraiser Run for Ukraine as part of Vitality London 10,000. Please welcome event director of London Marathon. It's the wonderful Hugh Brasher.
Yeah. Come in, Hugh. Are you there, Hugh?
Yeah, good morning, Ricky. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. I hear you've just got back from Boston.
I have. It's a brilliant city and an amazing marathon. If you ever get the opportunity to do it, it's 126 years old, but it's just a great city to run in, and the crowds are amazing.
If ever I get the opportunity to run the Boston Marathon, I ran a marathon once, Hugh.
You did, Ricky. You did 2011, I believe, the London Marathon.
Was it 11? Over a decade ago. Yeah. Do you know the story behind it?
I probably do, but your listeners might not.
All right. Well, I did finish it in my record time of 5 days, 16 hours and 14 minutes because I didn't make it to the end. And it was devastating. I will do a marathon again, Hugh.
You have to. Well, you have to come and do ours again, Ricky. It is such an amazing, life-affirming experience.
I probably would do it in fancy dress this time, though, because I'm too competitive. I thought I could win it, Hugh. You do. Well, you get caught up in it, don't you?
You absolutely do. I mean, the crowds are amazing. I think Vassos did it as a minion last year and absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
So, do it in fancy dress. It's another different experience.
All right. Well, put me down, but, you know...
That's a challenge.
I'll clear my diary. So what are we doing at the moment? What's this, the run for the Ukraine? Tell me about it.
the terrible daily... what's happening in Ukraine is just terrible. And on Bank Holiday Monday, we have the Vitality London 10,000 and we have a Run for Ukraine wave. So basically, your entry fee of £15 will go to the Disasters Emergency Committee, the Ukraine Humanitarian Fund. And so that money will go directly to them. You'll be surrounded by other people running for Ukraine. If you can run for charity, it'd be brilliant. Dress up in yellow and blue. The numbers will be yellow and blue. The atmosphere will be amazing. At the head of the field will be Samo Farah.
Yes.
I'm definitely at the head of the field. We're not expecting you to run that quickly. But it really is about coming out and doing some good, doing it with communities, getting together and just trying to do something positive onto what we see in the terrible pictures coming out of Ukraine.
I know. And it's been going on for 2 months now. So it's important to keep the ball rolling, isn't it? And not forget.
It really is. And, you know, the more that the refugee situation is terrible in terms of people going into so many other countries being displaced, the help that they need to get back on their feet is just going to be huge in the future and is enormous now. So, yeah, please come and run in the centre of London. It starts on the Mall. Can't be much better. It goes into the city of London and finishes in the front of Buckingham Palace. So it's very like the London Marathon, but it's only 10 kilometres.
And £15 is cheaper than a bus tour around London as well.
Exactly. And you feel healthier from doing it.
So it's value for money. And 10K, it's extremely doable, isn't it? It's enjoyable.
It is doable. And maybe, Ricky, you could come and do it.
Oh, well, I'll
challenge you.
I do 10K as my run when I go for a run. But I have to, Grace lets me go when I go to the shops on the way. So I take a rucksack and on the about 8K, I go to a shop and then run the last two home.
That's impressive.
And then make her avocado on toast when I get back.
That's good.
It's the only way I can get away. I was telling a story. I took my dog for a run the other day. He did not enjoy it.
Have you got? What dog have you got?
A Labradoodle. He's quite big, but he's nervous and he didn't want me to leave him behind. So he stayed with me for the 10K, but then he wouldn't go running with me the next day. He wouldn't go walking with me the next day. And now he's terrified of my gym kit.
Yeah.
Every time I put it on.
He's guarding for life.
Any other big things coming up in the running world, Hugh?
In the world, we've got a big thing coming up in the cycling world. For those of you, Ride London, which is London to Essex, 100-mile cycle that's coming up on May the 29th.
Is it downhill?
No, sadly, it's not. It's not all downhill. But again, it's hopefully raising a huge amount of money for good causes. You know, these events haven't been able to take place very often through the pandemic. London Marathon came back in October last year, and it was just one of the most life-affirming occasions, I think, in the history of the marathon.
It's marvellous, isn't it? Even if you get involved by just standing outside a pub and cheering people on and chucking them jelly babies, it's one of the best things to be part of, isn't it?
Yes, and jelly babies are always needed. They are a great snack.
Even if you're not running, I've got a bag open now. So remind us again, when is this? How do you get involved and what's it called?
Yeah, it's Run for Ukraine in the Vitality London 10,000. Mm-hmm. It's the bank holiday Monday, the 2nd of May. It's £15. Go to the website Vitality London 10,000, and that's the numbers 10,000. Click on how to enter. Click on the Run for Ukraine wave. That money will go to the Disasters Emergency Fund, and come and have fun, dress up in yellow and blue. And if you can raise other funds for that charity, it would be incredible. And we would love to see you on bank holiday Monday the 2nd.
Well, thanks very much, Hugh. And I'm going to be in touch about doing the marathon again. And,
that is brilliant.
Yeah, because I do need to tick that off my list. I did finish it, but I did go. I went back to the place where I'd stopped and finished it a week later.
Which is brilliant.
So technically, I've done it. And if you do it at your own speed, and as long as you can commit yourself to it, it's a marvellous thing to have done, isn't it? It's a proper bucket list thing.
It is.
So thank you very much, Hugh. Thank you. Sign up for the Run for the Ukraine wave at the Vitality London 10,000 on Monday, the 2nd of May. Enter at vitalitylondon10000.co.uk. Thanks, Hugh. See you soon.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe now to never miss an episode. Chris Evans will be back on the show next week, and I'll see you on stage with Kaiser Chiefs if you're coming to Virgin Radio's Big Thank You Tour. See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.